This is the audio interview for Wade Queen. Hey, Wade, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Okay. I'm just letting you know that I've got the recorder on and you're okay for me to record this, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So tell me when you moved to Sugar Hill.
It was in 1941. We lived out on Sycamore Road, the first little white house after you crossed 20th. On the right there was where we lived. And Dad and Mom both worked for Bonnie Allen at that time. And we actually had a little farm there and grew some cotton on that piece of property. But that was in 1941-42. My brother was born there in 1942.
Okay. What was your parents' name?
Everett and Edith Queen.
Okay. And who were your siblings?
My brother was Jackie, and my sister was Evelyn Queen.
Okay. And is that where you grew up at?
Not really. We moved several times. We lived, at one time we lived directly across from where the old city hall's at now. And then we lived again on a house on the old Kimsey place, which was on across from where the old cannery used to be.
Okay.
And then Dad bought a farm over across the river, and we lived there until I went in service. And then we moved back to Sugar Hill. They did about the time I got out of service. And
okay.
We've lived there ever since then.
Okay. And so then when you got out of service, you got married and moved back to Sugar Hill?
I did.
Okay. When was that?
1959.
Okay.
But no, I didn't move back actually until 1962, I believe it was. I built a house back in, actually it wasn't in Sugar Hill at that time. We brought it in later, but it's just off of 23 Highway.
Okay. All right. What is that? Okay, so you grew up in Sugar Hill. Did you go to the Sugar Hill schools?
I did.
Okay.
Even when we lived across the river, I still went to Sugar Hill School.
Okay. What can you tell me about your time during school?
I don't have a lot of good stuff because it was just the old school didn't have inside bathrooms at that time. We had the outside johns, and fact is, the boys was over close to the road there across from where Butte Robinson lived. But it was of course it went to the 11th grade at that time. That was as far as Sugar Hill went.
Okay.
And I guess most schools must have been that way back then, but that's kind of how it was anyhow at that time.
Okay. But you went to elementary?
I did.
Okay. There were more than one building, correct?
There was. They had through the 6th grade was in the old original building, and then the from 7th through the 11th was in the brick building. It was built sometime later. I don't know when that was, but it was T. Carl Bice was the principal most of that time. And of course, he lived just across from the old gym. That was the only sport I reckon that we had where you played it anyway. We had kids get out and play baseball, but we didn't have a team or anything. But we had the basketball team. Had good basketball teams. We played, you know, places like Decula and several others coming and what have you. But that was our main sport, was basketball at that time.
Okay. Any special memories in the school that you remember, things that you did?
I probably wouldn't want to tell them.
Well, that's the juicy stuff I want to know.
It was, you know, it was good times. There was no doubt about it. We caught the school bus down just before you get to the river at Iowa Posse's place. That's where everybody had to go to catch the bus. And, fact is, I guess some of your family lived neighbors to us over across the river, and we some of them, your mother, I guess, did walk to school, catch the bus over there.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a different world then. Fact is, when we lived at on Sycamore Road, Sugar Hill did not have any paved roads at that time. There wasn't a paved road in the Sugar Hill. And the first one that got paved was Highway 20, and that had to be sometimes. I don't even remember what year it was, but anyhow, that was the first road that got paved, and they straightened it and done some work like that. They had started on it from the area about where Peachtree Industrial and 20 Cross, they had started to straighten it straight through there where it's at now, but they didn't have it finished for I don't know how long, 2 or 3 years after that. But and actually the road through city, none of those were paved.
Okay. And you mentioned walking to the, y'all had to walk to the bus stop to catch that bus.
We did. We walked from over where we lived across the river over over to where Iowa Posse lived to catch the bus to Sugar Hill.
Okay.
Calvert Price was a school bus driver at that time.
What was his name?
Calvert Price. He lives over on Price Road there in Sugar Hill. He did at that time. I don't think Calvert is alive anymore, but he was a school bus driver at that time.
Okay. All right. And so it didn't matter if it was raining or snowing or sleeting. Y'all had to walk to that bus stop. That's how y'all
we
got
did.
To school.
We sure did.
Okay.
It was in fact, the river bridge was not where it's at now. It was down the river in front of the old Garner place. Was where it was just an old single lane wooden bridge at that time. Or the floors was wood. There was metal. The upper part of it was metal, but it was the wood. The bottom of it was wood anyhow.
You're referring to the Garner place on the other side of the golf course?
Yeah, that's where it's at. It's off of 20, just off of 20.
Okay.
About, I don't know, a quarter of a mile before you get to where the bridge is at now, it kind of barred off to the left and went down and crossed the river. And then our farm was just as you cross the river on the right. It's all it's in woods now, but it was we used to grow corn there in those bottoms. And my uncle lived on the other side. He had the other side of the road. He had a little bit bigger place than we did.
Okay. So y'all farmed a lot. You did cotton and corn.
When we lived in Sugar Hill, we grew some cotton. We didn't have a big farm because it was just, you know, we didn't have that much land. But we grew cotton on what we had.
Okay. And did you ever participate when they would haul from the school kids to go work at other farms?
I did.
Okay.
Fact is, we used to, they'd pick us up and take us over to where Shake Rag's at now, and we'd pick cotton over there. It's about 6 cents a pound, as I remember.
Okay.
But my mother, of course, lived across the river there. She was born there, and she lived within 4 or 5 miles of there till she died. She was 105.
Oh, wow. Okay. And when they would come pick y'all up, I guess you'd get out early from school, go over to Shake Rag, they bust you back?
Sometimes we did, yes. But sometimes we'd get after school, we'd go over there.
Okay.
And they'd bring us back there, and then we'd have to walk home.
Okay.
But it was just one of the things that kids did to try to make a few pennies in. It's hard to get a hold of money then.
Yeah. What stores do you remember in the area that was near the school that you used to go to?
Well, Daddy had a store just across the road there from where the old City Hall was at. There was two stores there. Mr. Mitchell had one, and Daddy had one. And Daddy had it about a year or two, and then he closed it and went up to Green's Curve or Mangrove Curve, whatever they call it, and he had a store there and for a couple of years, and there was actually another store down where the Lancasters lived, but I'm trying to think of where that would be in relation to the city now. It was It probably somewhere about where the little store that used to be Fields' store there that's open now. I don't even know what kind of store it is really, but it was. But on the other side of the road there was a store, and then that was a store at one time. And at one time, about where part of the City Hall's at up there, or maybe a little further back toward the old City Hall, from there on the same side of the road, Rocky Venable had a corn mill, and he had a little store in with the corn mill, and it burned at one time, and then there was a shoe shop there that was an old wooden building that burned, and then they built the new shoe shop about where the City Hall's at now, and that was Georgia Shoe Company.
Okay. What was it like growing up in the community during that time?
It was, it was kind of like, the difference was that kids looked after themselves and their parents worked, and that's just the way it was then. You didn't have any daycares and that kind of stuff. You just, everybody looked after their own, and that's kind of the way it was.
Okay.
But it was a good place to live. You didn't get into too much because somebody would tell your mama.
Yeah, definitely.
I did get into it one time with I kind of forgot about this, but me and about 3 or 4 more boys climbed up on the bell tower at the school and took the bell down and took it and threw it in the river.
Oh.
And one of the boys finally broke down and told what we did, and then we had to get it out and get it back on the tire where it came from, and we had to. I know they made me ride on the front seat of the bus, was the driver, so I wouldn't get in no trouble. And they kind of made us look after the playground and stuff like that for a while. But it was it wasn't anything real bad, but that was the worst thing we ever got into, I guess.
Okay. So your punishment was being playground monitor then?
We had to work on the what they wasn't nothing out there but a few swings and stuff like that, but we had to kind of keep it clean and do stuff like that as a punishment.
So I'm assuming you were a teenager then, if you were able to get down.
Well, I was getting close to being a teenager. Yeah, if I wasn't, I was probably 12 or 13 years old, maybe.
Okay. All right. And are there any other fond memories that come to mind that you and your friends, either games you played or something you got into that you might want to share?
Well, I can't think of anything offhand, Kim. We were just ordinary kids. That was about all I can tell you. But Sugar Hill was a good place to live. It was, you know, there's a lot of good people lived in Sugar Hill, and they it was just a real good place to live.
So what were some of your favorite games that y'all played growing up that you can think of that you played?
Well, we played baseball, and of course we didn't have any. All the basketball we played was at school, and I never did play any on the team anything, but there was a lot of good friends of mine that did, but most of us had to work after we got out of school, so we didn't have a whole lot of time to do a whole lot of playing. We had to look after whatever our chores were at home.
Okay. So when you say work, that was just your home chores?
Yeah, and of course we had a farm a good bit of that time, and we grew chickens and stuff like that, and had to look after that when you got home. So.
Okay.
And, but it was a little different than it is for kids nowadays. They don't have to do kind of stuff that we were doing back then, but it wasn't. It was just the way things was.
Yeah. So, what was your first? I mean, but aside working on your chores and at your farm, what was your first job?
My first job was with Erskine Sutter at a sawmill, and we cut timber, and that was before we even had chainsaws, and all you had was cross-cut saws, and it's pretty hard work, but you know, you're proud to get anything, make a few dollars.
Okay. Where was that located at?
Erskine lived down, his daughter still lives there in Sugar Hill, right the other side of the golf course there on 20, right in the curve there is where Erskine's house was, and the Settises, I guess they're probably the oldest family in Sugar Hill. I think they were the one that gave the land for the Sugar Hill Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
But they're got to be one of the oldest families in Sugar Hill.
Okay. And then after that, you went in the military?
I went in the military when I was 17 years old, and I went directly to Korea after I got out of training. I went to Korea and stayed there till the ceasefire was signed. And the fact is, the day that it signed was the day that I was leaving to come home. And, it was something but I don't think about it a whole lot.
Yeah. Is there anything else about that you want to share?
No, I did my service, and I don't regret anything. I run into several old boys from this area, so when I was over there, and it was something that I wouldn't wish on nobody else.
Yeah, that must have been a lot. You probably didn't do a lot of traveling just locally until they ripped you up, sent you to training, and then sent you over to Korea, right?
They sent me to California for training, and then we went from California, got on a ship, and we went to Korea, and I stayed on that ship until I got discharged in 1955.
Okay. In 1955. Okay. Well, we sure do appreciate your service, too.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So, I'm going to go forward in time a little bit now.
Okay.
You became employed with the city. Tell me how that became about.
Well, I retired from Goldkist. I was manager of Goldkist Bills when I was at Flower Branch at that time. We had mills in Eatonton, and had for a period of time I managed one at Gunnersville, Alabama, at the same time I was managing those Eatonton and Flower Branch. But I retired, and they were building the golf course, and I was one of the people on the council asked me about, you know, going out to the golf course, and I did. I went out there, and I was just going to do whatever they wanted me to do while we was trying to build the course. And, after we got it built, they wanted me to manage it, so I managed it for for 10 years, and it was a real experience. And the thing we had to do, we had to have some more places for the sewage treatment to go. We run out of space, and the town was growing pretty fast, and we'd run out of our amount of percentage that we had with the Buford plant, and we had to have another plant built, and the only kind of plant they would allow at that time was one where you had spray fields, and you could do one of two or three things. You could grow pulpwood on it, or you could grow hay for horses on it, or you could make a golf course out of it, and the council chose to build a golf course on it. And everything worked fine until we got to the point where we run out of the amount of water we could put on the golf course, and it just about made the course unplayable there for a while, until we added some acreage that was not on the course to get rid of water, and that helped a lot. And so it worked that way until we sold out to the county, and then they put a tunnel under the golf course and run it over to the Wayne Hill plant. But it was a pretty full time job trying to keep all that stuff together. But it was also enjoyable, because I've always been involved and love golf, but that was a different part of golf, was trying to run the golf course. But I think we done fine, and we met a lot of nice people, and I think it turned out to be a great thing for the city to own a golf course. But I think it's a great source of recreation for a lot of people. So.
Right.
if it don't pay for itself, it pays a good portion of it anyhow. So.
Right. Anything else about the golf course that you want to share with me that you may not have added?
Honey, I can't think of anything. It's, it was a good experience for me, and I think it was a good experience for the city. It's pretty much first thing people find out about the city is that they got a golf course. So I think it's worked out to be a good thing for the city.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you about a few other establishments and icons with the city, just to see if there's anything that you want to add or any memories that you might have of it. What about the drive-in movie theater?
The drive-in movie theater, the one that was down off of 20?
Yes.
At Sugar, at Riverside?
Yes.
Yeah, we frequent that pretty regular when it was there. It was the one of the things that teenagers did. And the fact is, me and Bobby went there several times.
Okay.
It was, like back then, that was the thing to have a drive-in theater, you know. But I went there several times and enjoyed it.
Okay. You also mentioned living across from the cannery. Is there anything you remember about it?
Well, it used to be used a lot by the citizens of, you know, Sugar Hill and the area around Sugar Hill. A lot of, you know, people back then, all of them grew a garden, and some of them had, you know, more than a garden, but they used that to, can their food. And it was, you know, it was a great service at that time. And there was also another building there that, a little further up than that one was, it was the old where they taught the trades, you know, like welding and stuff like that. That was all part of the school.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think if there's anything.
So the cannery itself was part of the school as well?
Well, it was not necessarily part of the school, I don't guess, but it was, I don't know if that was exactly, I guess the county may have owned that cannery, I'm not sure, but it was on school property there. It was all in part of that same land, that V-shaped land that runs between those two roads there. But it was, and I know the shop over there where they taught shop was part of the school. So I guess maybe the tannery, cannery may have been part of the school too. I'm not even sure about that.
Okay. Any other businesses during your time growing up that, stick out in your mind, like Pass and Puckett's, the Chrysler dealership, the Bice's Appliance?
Well, the Pine Top Barbecue.
Pine Top Barbecue. Where was that located?
Miss Burrell. Miss Burrell owned it. It was out, I'm trying to think exactly where it was at. It was, do you know where the old skating rink was at? It was in front of, on the Highway 20 side of where the old skating rink was at. That was the Pine Top Barbecue. It later became several other businesses, but back then it was Miss Burrell's, and it was they called Pine Top Barbecue.
Okay, all right. Tell me anything about the bowling alley and the skating rink.
Well, the bowling alley was out right in the curve there where Miss Tate, next to Miss Tate's house. I don't know if you knew where that's at.
Mm-hmm.
Between what road is, it goes in by the cemetery there.
West Broad Street?
No.
Whitehead?
Yeah, Whitehead Road. It was between that and where Miss Tate lived.
Okay.
It was owned by Bailey, Glad Bailey. And it wasn't the big bowling balls. It was the smaller ones. And I forgot what the name of them was, but they were small balls compared to the big balls. But that was where the bowling alley was at.
Okay. And the skating rink, did you attend it too?
We did, yes. Most ever, all the kids wound up at the skating rink one time or another. But everybody really had it. That's where you congregated at. That's where all the boys met the girls, and the girls met the boys, I guess, was the old skating rink.
Okay. Do you remember Sugar Hill having a police department?
I do.
Okay, what can you tell me about that?
Well, not a whole lot. I won't tell you who it was, but I'll tell you that at one time, that little old building right next to the old city hall was at one time a gas station. And it had a lift on the back of it. And this guy had a load of liquor on the car, and he had it up on the lift there. And the police came up, and he told them, said, "Now I got a load of liquor on that car out there. Said, don't be messing with it." And he never did look at it, but he really did, but he didn't. If I told you it was, you'd know it, but I won't do that. I don't know a lot about the city police department. I don't think it was anything. I can't tell you a whole lot that they ever done that was that good, but I don't know anything they ever done was bad either, so that's about all I can tell you about. I used to know the names of the guys that were policemen at that time, but I can't even remember them now.
Okay. And there was a jail in the old city hall, right?
I don't know that. I guess maybe there was a holding facility there till you could get them to the county, but they never was much of a police department in Sugar Hill. It was just they had one or two maybe. I never did know them having two, but all I remembered about was having one. They had it more than one time. They had a police department more than one time, but it was not. Not anything that I think was worth remembering a whole lot.
Okay. What about the volunteer fire station?
Yeah, that was really something. That was the best thing I think had ever happened to the city, was having the fire department. And Marion Bice and a lot of the guys, I don't even remember that. Can't even tell you what their name was right now, but it was a really good fire department, and it was, you know, all volunteer, and it was really worth everything they put into it, because at that point we didn't have any kind of fire department. You had to depend on Buford or somebody else.
What can you tell me about memories of the construction of Buford Dam and building of Lake Lanier?
I remember that where the dam is built, there was used to be an old rock cliff up on the side of the river. We used to go up there on old pole boats and fish, but I remember when they were doing all the surveying and what have you over there, and it was just, you know, when the government, Corps of Engineers was involved in all that, and I knew some of the people that worked on the dam, but the big thing that was happening to that was probably while I was gone in service.
Okay.
But it opened, I guess, about the time I got out of service.
Okay. All right. What can you tell me about any gold mines in Sugar Hill?
Well, I remember when I was a kid, we lived on the road right before you go down toward where the park was at over there, that there was an outfit that came in there. And I'm afraid to tell you what year it was because I really don't remember. But I remember that it was seemingly like maybe it was an English outfit that was in there mining for gold. But I don't remember much more than that. But I do remember they were there. There was an outfit came in and was digging or whatever they were doing over there for gold. But I can't even remember what year it was.
Okay. And you never went in any of the mines or explored?
I never did. Okay. The only thing I ever seen was maybe when I was hipping out the park or some over there, that there's some spots around where they were digging, you know. I guess they're still over there.
Okay.
But I know there were some on down, and several a good way down from that one, but I never went down there, so I don't really know anything about that.
Okay. Well, you touched on this a little bit, and you didn't give me a name, but tell me what you know about the moonshining in Sugar Hill.
Well, I don't know if there's any more here than there was a lot of other places at that time, but there was enough going on. It was, I do know that, there was liquor being made. There's no doubt about that. And I don't know that, when I tell you this, I don't know that it was in the city proper, but it was in the area, I'll put it that way.
Okay.
I do know that where the golf course is at,
There
was several old steel sites on that property when we were building the golf course.
Okay.
But there was a fact here, there was a gentleman that lived in the house right where the entrance to the golf course is at that I understand was in the business at that time.
Okay.
I don't.
All right. Y'all didn't take any pictures of any of the steels or remnants that y'all came across when y'all were building the golf course, did you?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But there was one. The only one I've seen that had any evidence of, you know, most of them were just old steel sites where they had rocks, you know, for the fire pit for where they was at, but there were some old pieces of steel left on where the revenues had come in and took axe to them and chopped it up. That was still on the, it was on that side, not where the course is at, but where the other nine holes designed. It was designed as a 27-hole course, and we built 18 holes, but the other nine was where we was putting water out for till as long as we could anyhow, before we sold it to the county. But there was one old steel site over there had an old pot that was hacked up with an axe, you could tell, but I don't know if it's still there or not.
Okay. Anything else about the moonshining that comes to mind that you might want to add?
I don't know. I really don't, other than the fact that, you know, that at that time, back in those days, there was quite a few of them around. I don't think they'd do much business right now with all the alcohol that's available without having to do something that was illegal, but it was back then.
Right, right. Is there anything that you want to share with me on any of the churches in the area or cemeteries that you might want to add?
Well, Mom, she went to Sugar Hill Baptist till she went to the nursing home, and she was probably close to 100 years old when she went in the nursing home. But that was her church, and of course, Bobby and I always went to either West Buford or First Baptist in Buford. I can't think of anything particularly about churches in Sugar Hill. I know the Methodist Church was one that Mr. Kemp had lived out. Across from what they used to be, the old Pastor Puckett's. They were the driving force behind that church. It's still a church there, but it's not the one that they started as a Methodist church.
Right. They started that in their home.
Yeah, and it was, wound up as it's what's the church on the hill now. But, they were the ones that were responsible for starting that church anyhow.
Correct, yeah. Now, is your mother buried at Sugar Hill Church?
No, she's buried at Hall Creek.
Oh, okay.
That's where her mother and father and grandmother and grandfather and all them's buried over there.
Okay, that's where my people are buried, too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I knew your grandma real well and your grandpa and all them. Boy, me and Jay was real good friends. It was a lot of, they lived in my great-grandpa's old house.
Okay. And that was on the right there after you passed the bridge.
Yeah, as you start up the hill there, where Windermere's at now.
You wouldn't have any pictures on that, would you?
I've got one, but it's just one of my great-grandfather. He had 18 kids, and I've got a picture of the old house with him and all the family there. My mother, dad, and all them was there.
Oh, I'd love to see that. I'd love to get a copy of that.
Okay. Yeah. I can give you that, hon.
Okay. Is there anything else that you can think of that you want to share with me?
Honey, I can't think of anything offhand that I feel like it'd be worth much, but it's just, I'm real proud of the city. I think the city has just absolutely been doing a great job. We come from them without not having any money and able to do much other than just survive to having a lot of things to be proud of right now.
Mm-hmm. What would you tell people about Sugar Hill's past that they might not know that I haven't already asked you?
Sugar, I don't know a whole lot that I know other than best of what we've talked about. It's, at one time there wasn't a lot of people. The fact is, when I moved back here, I was transferred to Cedartown and Carrollton for about 14 years. And when I came back here, I don't think there was much over 2,000 people in the city of Sugar Hill. And that was in 1978, I believe.
Okay.
But you can look. If my memory served me right, I don't think there was much over 2,000 people in the city at that time.
Okay.
And now I understand it's over 20,000 or about that.
Right, right. Well, what do you think Sugar Hill's going to look like 50 years from now?
Oh, Lord. Honey, I ain't got a clue in the world. I hope it looks like a lot like it looks now. I know it won't, because I know there's a lot of folks would like to move here. And I don't know how many of them we can accommodate, but I think it will, though. I think there's a lot of land up and down Peachtree Industrial that still can be developed, and there's quite a bit in different areas that still one of these days will be developed, and I hope it's all good as it's been in the past, anyhow.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to share, or any words of wisdom that you want to pass on to current or future generations?
Oh, anything I tell them, honey, they ain't going to listen to, don't they?
Okay.
I reckon it's, I just love the place, is all I can tell you, and I've been all over the world. I've been fortunate in my life, and I've been able to travel in places that I never dreamed of, and fact is, after I retired from the golf course, my brother-in-law and I went to every state in the Union, and we didn't go to Alaska, and never been to Alaska, and I don't particularly care about going to Alaska, but I went to all the rest of them, and he had never been to Hawaii. I'd been half a dozen or more times, so I didn't count that one in, but the rest of the states we went to.
Okay.
But I say this, of all the places I've ever been in my life, all over the world, there's no place that I ever considered it being home any more than I do right here. So I always wanted to come back here.
That's very nice. Well, we sure do appreciate you taking the time out today to do an audio interview with us. And I'll give you a call back. And Bobby said she had some things too.
Okay.
I'll give you a call back and schedule a time to pick them up, or
okay. Y'all
drop them off or something like that. But I really appreciate your time and thanks.
Well, I appreciate. I wish I could have been worth something, but I don't. Actually, I'm not very good when it comes to trying to remember stuff anymore, but.
I think you did great. You did a good job.
I think you're doing a good job too, Kim. I really do, and I appreciate you. And I hope we can keep things kind of like they are for a while, anyhow.
Right.